that they really shouldn't be taking in order to stop physical pain. And that's why people will choose behaviors that they know that they shouldn't be choosing in order to stop the emotional pain. People do all kinds of things and justify all kinds of things in order to stop the pain, because that becomes the goal. Stop the pain. Whatever it takes, stop the pain, because we get impatient with the suffering and the pain that we are having to endure. And so, again, it's a problem that they were struggling with back then that James addressed, and it's a problem that we struggle with today. And so James is giving us in this particular section some good focus on something we all need very desperately. Keep in mind that as we've been seeing all along through our study, James doesn't just arbitrarily pick a topic here and he jumps from where he has been talking about the oppression of the rich or the poor by the rich and so forth. Then so now he's just going to decide to talk about impatience. Most likely it is connected, because what he has addressed in the previous section we were studying, the whole idea of those who are followers of Christ who are suffering persecution and struggles and strife and so forth at the hands of those who are rich non-believers, basically this discussion that he has about being patient fits in there perfectly, doesn't it? Okay? And it really has a lot to do with the idea, the concept of being able to continue on or press on, okay, in spite of the fact that we are facing struggles or problems or whatever it might be. Okay? So, basically, those are some of the things that we were focusing on last week as we introduced this part of our study. So let's talk about some hazards, or the fact that impatience is a hazard to our spiritual health. In other words, why is this such an important topic that James feels the need to address it? Well, because it has potential problems for us spiritually if we are not careful about our level of patience. In other words, impatience can very easily place us in spiritual jeopardy. And it can do so in several different ways, right? First of all, it can do so because impatience often causes us to mistreat other people. Okay? When you get impatient, just think about how do you react or respond toward other people? Right? When the pressure is really on, how do you act? How do you behave toward others? And the realization is that just because we are being even mistreated gives us no excuse to treat others badly. We need to keep that in mind. Okay? But again, I've oftentimes said it this way. When everybody in our lives is doing what they're supposed to be doing, at least from our perspective, it's easy to get along with people. It's easy to do what we're supposed to do, right? But it's when other people aren't doing what we want them to do or think they should be doing or whatever, that's when it becomes testy, so to speak. But that's when our faith becomes tested the most. You see? In other words, anybody can be good to people who are good to them. Jesus says that, doesn't he? About the pagan. Even the pagan can do that, you see? But it's a matter of how do we respond and react to people who are not treating us well. In fact, Jesus even refers to and calls them our enemies, right? And he tells us in that circumstance that we are to do what for our enemies? To love them. Right? In fact, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 13, in the great love chapter, okay, defines love, at least in part, as being patient and kind, verse 4. Okay? So, when you consider that aspect of agape, that it is patient and it is kind, then it is impossible to be loving and impatient, isn't it? If love is patient, then if we are impatient, then we are not loving. Okay. We need to consider that aspect of our relationship with other people, and not just the people that, you know, are close to us, but with everybody. In fact, someone might suggest that it's usually the people that we are the closest to that we treat the worst, that we get the most impatient with, say. We need to consider that that aspect of agape, and realize that when we are not showing love to other people, we're becoming impatient, see, then that can be causing us to sin. And not only the love, but the unkindness. He says that love is not only patient, but it is kind. And again, think about, yourself, when you are around people who are testing your patience, how unkind can you be? Okay. I don't have a problem with that. Well, think about it this way. I mean, with me, and I've told you this before, I don't say this to Brian, I'm saying this as a fact of the struggle that I have. At times when I'm driving down the road and the state trooper in me comes out, okay, and I get some moron in front of me who does this or that, and yes, I oftentimes refer to them as morons, and that's how I, but is that kind or is it unkind? That's a struggle that I have, that I have to, really fight. I'm doing better on that, by the way, okay? And the reason I'm doing better is because I really try hard and I really focus not to do that. Okay? But that's what we have to realize, is, just because I'm by myself in my car and this moron pulls out in front of me and I call him a moron, doesn't make it okay because nobody else can hear me. Because God can hear it, right? Okay, so again, we have to realize those things. We've got to get those things under control. Because that impatience, and that's what it is, can cause us to sin, as we've been saying. Jesus?
Yeah, but he can do that, but he doesn't
want it.
Right?
But God knows, as we said. So whether he ever hears you or not, God will hear you. Okay, so it can cause us problem that way, but another way that it can cause us to sin is that impatience oftentimes disrupts Christian fellowship. Okay, think about that. And that's likely the main reason that James is addressing this topic to begin with. Notice that he says in verse 9 of chapter 5, don't grumble against who? One another. Who's the one another he's talking about? Us's. Okay? You and me's. We's. Okay? He's talking to the folks in the church. Remember, we talked about this last week. He's addressing this part to the brethren, right? Okay? So he's talking about folks in the church. And he's saying to one another, so that's including the folks that are there. When other people mistreat us, as we said a few moments ago, we tend to take it out on those that are closest to us. So that same thing is true about the church, isn't it? We have a problem with somebody and we get impatient and we take it out on one another. Okay. Even if our loved ones or our brethren, our fellow Christians, are the cause of our irritation, we've got to realize that we don't have a right to treat them badly. But how often do we justify, you know, our impatience and the way we react or respond to someone by saying, well, if they wouldn't have done... Okay? So, basically, when we do that, what we're really saying is that, okay, I'm going to follow what God wants me to follow, but I get off the hook when somebody else doesn't do what they're supposed to do. I don't have to do what God told me to do, right? And that, I mean, that's what we're saying. But I haven't found that anywhere in the Scriptures. In other words, anywhere that we get, you know, a bye, we get a pass on behaving badly because somebody else is behaving badly. We're supposed to behave the way God wants us to behave toward one another, no matter how everybody else behaves.
That's right.
Okay? You know, we do what other people do. We react and respond to what other people do, oftentimes using what they have done as an excuse for us to do wrong. Now, think about that for a moment. Okay? We're upset because they did something wrong, and it somehow affected us, and we use their wrong to justify our wrong. What's wrong with that picture? The answer is everything. Okay? Everything's wrong with it. Wes? Okay? Alright? Okay? You put it back on again and continue on, okay? Yeah, you know, it's like, all right, show me that passage in the Bible. Where is that? Okay, Jude.
And Wes is exactly right. I've seen Christian brothers get so impatient and so frustrated with one another that they would actually end up before. And I think that it leaves a bad taste in my mouth, and what does it say to people outside? You know, it just shows how important it is to be patient, and you know, Scripture saying you're better off being wrong than causing somebody else to sin. You know, so yeah, it's a very important and part.
And, you know, what we have to realize is that the actions of another person never justifies our getting involved in sin. You know, there's no way we can judge it. We're not going to be able to stand before God in judgment and say, well, I would have been a better Christian if, you know, so-and-so. It doesn't work that way. Each one of us is responsible for ourselves and are accountable for ourselves. Is that right?
Two wrong certainly don't make a right. You have to own up to the things you do, and learn to treat people like you want to be treated. I just can't. Yeah, I've gotten older. I just see so much stuff that ought not to be happening. That's among brothers. We ought to be trying our very best, like Paul, if at all possible. Let us try to make sure that we try to get along with all men.
Especially those, like you said,
those in the household of faith.
That's right. Yeah, thank
you. You know, it's basically the idea here is that it's hard to experience unity when you're constantly complaining about each other. And that's true whether you're talking about a church or whether you're talking about a marriage, you're talking about a family, it doesn't really matter. You can't really unify if you're constantly looking at what's wrong with each other. Okay? And you know, that's one of the things that I try to get couples to face and focus on when I'm doing counseling with them is, you know, because the big problem is after a while, we become experts in what's wrong with each other. And that's what we focus on, is those, you know, why they didn't do this, and they don't do that, they do this, and, you know, what's wrong with them? And it's interesting that very few times do people ever come in and say, you know, I got some problems that I'm causing. You know, it's usually the other person, okay? But, you know, again, the same thing in the church. Think about it at your job. You know, how well do you get along with other people at your work? And is the work environment. If people are constantly griping and complaining, there's not a whole lot of unity there. And so James is addressing, you know, that, you know, for that reason, okay? But impatience, rather, it just calls us to sin in a variety of ways. Look at verse 9, as he says, you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door, okay? So in other words, we're going to have to answer to the judge for our impatience. It's not going to be overlooked and dismissed. Look over in 1 Samuel chapter 13. Turn over there for a minute. Let's look at an example of how impatience can get us into sin problems. Okay? Now, this is King Saul, who is waiting for Samuel to come and offer the sacrifices that are supposed to be done before Saul goes to battle with the Philistines. Alright? And so he's waiting and he's waiting and he waits past the time when Samuel had told him he would be there. Alright, so in other words, Samuel indicated, you know, I'll be here by this time, and Saul waited, and Samuel wasn't there, and he waited a little bit longer, and Samuel still wasn't there. So, whose fault is Saul's impatience? Well, it's Samuel's, isn't it? If Samuel had been there when he told Saul that he would be there, then Saul wouldn't have had to sin. Okay? That's the logic that a lot of people use. But look at, basically what happens is Saul becomes impatient and he offers the sacrifice himself, doesn't he? All right, somebody read for us verse 13. I think it's verse 13. You acted foolishly.
And Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord will have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart. And the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people. Because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you.
Okay. So what was Saul's problem? And by the way, right after Saul offered the sacrifice, what does it tell us there? That's when Samuel showed up, right? Okay. Saul was impatient. And what is it that Samuel tells him? You have not obeyed what the Lord commanded you. And it's such a grievous sin that what happened to him? He lost the kingdom.
Oh, yeah.
He lost the kingdom because of his impatience. Right? Notice here that that Samuel says, what kind of a person has God chosen to replace Saul? Okay? A man who has a heart. You see, all of this has to come from where? We talk about it over and over again. It's got to come from the heart. Mm-hmm. So, And so God has chosen a new leader, one who is a man after his own heart. You see, we look at this example, and James, you know, is focusing on this issue of patience in suffering and struggle and so forth, because he doesn't want his readers, men, those original readers, as well as us today, to fall under the same judgment, because we are not keeping the Lord's commands by becoming impatient with whatever it is that we're having to face in life. So being impatient can cause us to sin in a lot of different ways. Right? Okay, nextly, patience isn't a suggestion. Okay? It's kind of like the Ten Commandments. They're called commandments for a reason, right? They are not the Ten Suggestions, as people have said. They are commandments. And patience is not a suggestion either. We need to understand how serious and important it is. James states his whole concept or command with six imperatives in this passage. Okay? Notice what he says here. First of all, he says, be patient. All right? Then again, he says, you be patient. The third thing he says is, establish your hearts. We'll talk about that in just a few moments. Okay? The next one he says, as an example of patience, brothers, take the prophets or consider them. And he's going to talk a little bit about them. And he says, do not swear. It's another imperative. All right? You get impatient. Sometimes what do? He's not talking here necessarily about cursing and swearing, using foul language. What does he say? Let your yes be yes, and your no be no. Don't get impatient with the process and so forth. Start, you know, reneging and start backing up and, you know, change, you know. If you say something, stick to it. If you said yes, then mean yes. If you said no, then mean no. And stick with yes or no. Don't get impatient and start flip-flopping back and forth and everything else. Okay? And then, finally, he says, he includes that in that wording, to stand firm. Let it be one way or another. Choose. Yes or no. Which is it going to be? Don't need your impatience, in other words, kind of waffle in the middle in between and being indecisive. The Apostle Paul also calls on us to focus on patience. All right? Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Somebody want to read that for us? Colossians 3, 12 through 14. Let me get, who wants to read that? Just before we start reading. Okay, Lynette's going to read that. Stephen, Galatians 5 and verse 22. Okay, I got one more. Who wants to read another one here? All right, Beverly, 2 Timothy 4, 1 and 2. Let's take a look at some things that Paul tells us about patience. Okay, Colossians 3, 12 through 14. Before we were clothed with Christ, and those clothes, he describes them as what? Look at the list. Okay? Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Now, look at the context that he's writing this in. Alright? Again, we said earlier, it's easy to be patient with people when they're doing what they're supposed to do, right? But look at what he says here. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. So he's calling upon us to have compassion and kindness and patience with one another. When? Okay, always, but specifically here, when we're not at our best. But I mean, if you think about it this way, isn't that when we need those things from one another? Okay? I don't need your compassion when I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. Okay? I don't need your forgiveness when I haven't done anything against you. I need it when I've messed up. You see? So it's when we're not at our best that we need these things. Okay? And again, one of the things that he tells us to help us to remember to do this is that we need to forgive just as how? As Christ forgave us. Okay. We need that, okay, because we mess up. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Steve, you got that?
Just that verse or continue?
Just that one would be fine.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith.
I'm sorry. Gentleness, self-control, against such things there is no law. I'm sorry. Alright, so again, look at the, here he's talking about that this is what? It is the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, so where does this fruit come from? It comes from the Spirit. So, in order for us to have this fruit, what do we have to have? The Spirit. Okay? Because the fruit belongs to Him, right? Okay, so when we have the Spirit, Paul tells us to keep in step with the Spirit, right? That we are to walk with the Spirit. We have the Spirit of Christ in us, right? And that's how we're able to have the fruit of the Spirit and be able to produce the fruit of the Spirit in our own lives. And again, that fruit of the Spirit is what? Okay, keep practicing. All right. But again, it's patience is in there, isn't it? Long suffering, some of the translations use. Okay. 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2. Who did I ask to read that better? Go ahead. Okay. Paul is writing to the preacher Timothy,
yeah,
and giving him these instructions. And basically, what is he telling him here? Be ready. Okay. Preach the word. When? In season and out of season. What does that mean? Marshall Keeble used to say about that passage, he said, that means when they like it, when they don't like it. Okay, yeah, you preach it. Doesn't matter whether they like it or not, you preach it anyway. Okay? So be instant, in season and out of season. And you do this, you teach, you rebuke, you correct with what? Long suffering or patience. And why do we need to have that patience? And by the way, I don't think this is intended just for preachers. In other words, you guys don't get saved. That just applies to you, Russ. Okay? Yeah. Okay? Why do we need that patience? What does he say in the very next verse? For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will do what? They will gather around them teachers who will say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn aside from the truth. They will turn to myths. Okay? Does that sound like anything that's going on in America today?
Yeah.
You see? So, again, is that just something that preachers need to be practicing? We all need to be doing this. Right?
Marshall Keeble, had to deal with an individual I understand, which was told by a brother, Bill Boss, who was pretty much familiar with him. And he was there preaching, and a fella came up with a pair of brass knuckles and hit him. I guess the attorney of the chief cut me. I mean, he probably dropped to his knees, but he never stopped preaching. Never stopped preaching God's word. Now, you can imagine, can you imagine during those days, he's a black preacher, and you know, if a white guy comes in, he says he wants to listen to what God has said. He takes his own stand, do what he wants to do. I think, Marcus Key would say he was a great guy to be able to deal with that and not, you know, what's the word?
Mentality.
Yeah.
I've never heard that story before.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Here's another aspect of this we have to keep in mind. Being patient or being impatient are choices that we make, are they not?
I guess.
I guess so. But they are, really, if you think about it, they're choices that we make.
Yeah.
All right. In other words, we don't get to say, well, God made me this way. That's just the way I am. You know, we talk about that lots of times. Who's the only I am being we read about in the Bible? God.
God.
Okay, so we don't get to just say, well, that's the way I am.
You know, I don't think it's a choice.
Okay.
And not for everybody.
Okay.
Yeah, I admit it. Lately, I don't have much patience. Because most is more for me aggravated because I can't do what I want.
Okay.
You know, I get up and tend to like clean the house, and I can't even finish a whole room
right
before I have to cook. And then get on my nerves.
Okay.
And you know, so I think sometimes it can be just aggravation.
Well, we may respond by being aggravated, but the result, the reason that we're being aggravated is because we're being impatient with the process or whatever's going on. And that's still a choice that we make.
I mean,
how
does
that
work?
Do what?
How does that work? We can't do it.
What do you mean if you can't do it?
If you can accomplish what you want to do, you know, how is it a choice to be?
Okay. All right. Well, hang with me for a minute as we go through this, because that's what James is really talking about here. Okay. We need to learn this lesson, because the reality is, Jolene, there's a lot of things in our lives we don't have any control over. Okay. And yet, even in those circumstances, and I might even say, especially in those circumstances, we need to be patient. In other words, as we were saying earlier, we don't get a buy, you know, from obeying God and telling us to be patient just because we can't control the circumstance. You see? So hang with us here in this, and we'll get to that a little bit more. Hopefully we'll have some time here. I don't know if we'll get all through it today, but we will get to it. So if we don't get today, make sure you're here next Sunday, all right? Okay. You know, we need to understand that, you know, being patient may be easier for some people than others, okay, but it's still a choice that we make, all right? We tend to look at some people as being, you know, they're really an impatient person or what have you, and the danger is for us to look at it and go, well, they can't help that. Okay, but what we have to understand is, you know, if we recognize that being impatient can cause us to sin, if we say, well, that's the way I am, or I can't help it, you know, basically what we're saying is God made me that way, so it's God's fault that I'm impatient. careful there, don't we? You say? I seem to recall way back in the meeting, not that I was there or anything, but reading about it, a statement that sounded something like, the woman you gave me.
Well,
she gave me the fruit and I did eat. In other words, you know, we're going to blame it on God. See? It's not someone else's responsibility in our lives to keep us from being impatient. We need to understand that and realize that. How we react to what others do is our own responsibility, not someone else's. All right? And we're not entitled to get impatient with others because of their actions or behavior. We're responsible for ourselves. Okay? Now, again, we may not like the circumstance that we're in, and that's part of what being impatient is all about. We're going to talk here in just a moment that hopefully we'll have time here. We'll see. You know, we need to get a proper understanding also when we're talking about impatience, what are we really talking about here? Okay? Judy, you have a comment?
Yeah, I think that with patience, acceptance was needed.
Okay.
Because I think if we can accept the situations we're in, then we want to have to be more patient with it.
Okay.
Sometimes the Lord takes away something, and maybe there's something else we put it for us. And I think those are the ways we need to look at when we want to get patient with situations or things that we have to come with.
Okay. Well, let's talk about patience. What is it? Okay. What is impatience and what is patience to begin with? We tend to think of patience as the person who passively endures whatever comes in life without complaining or making any effort to change it. In other words, we tend to look at the patient person as one who just goes, oh, well, you know, I guess there's nothing I can do about that, so, okay, sarah. You know, Tommy talks about a person, you know, in his book he talks about a lady, he says this lady in Central America who lived on the slope of a volcano that was erupting, and someone asked her, are you going to leave or are you going to flee from the volcano? She said, no, I think I'll just be patient and see what happens. You know, and he says, that's not patience, that's fatalism. You know, in other words, it's, we tend to look, because someone doesn't get, what's one of the key marks of impatience that we look for? Someone's getting impatient, what do we typically see? What do we, they're what?
Anger.
They're angry. They get angry, they're impatient. See? So we need to kind of clarify, you know, when James is talking about, when Paul's talking about, when God's talking about patience here, what does he mean? In Greek, there's two different words that are used here, okay? Macrophimia, it means to be long-tempered, okay? In other words, what it refers to is being slow to anger, all right? So that's an aspect of it. Someone who is slow to anger. Hypomone means to, or basically implies, courageous resistance, endurance, and fortitude in the face of hardships, Geraldine. Okay? So what we're talking about here is realizing that, yes, I'm in a circumstance that is difficult to deal with. Okay? But I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep pressing forward. It's not a matter of patience. Is not in that circumstance just throwing up our hand and go, oh, well, nothing I can do. You know? It is a matter of being able to press on with our lives as best we can in the circumstances, you say, and not giving up, especially not giving up on God. Okay. Okay. Need neither of these two Greek words that are used here suggest this passive resignation to things as they are. That's not what it refers to when we're talking about patience. You won't hear me complain. You know, kind of thing. All right? That's not what it's talking about here. What it does suggest is that it is a willingness to endure until better things come along. Okay? And what we have to understand is the waiting period, in other words, until better things come along, that needs to be filled with a time of prayer and faith, not resignation. Okay? You have to understand that better time or those better things may not come along when? In this lifetime. Okay? They may not come along in this lifetime. It may not get better. Alright? People die every day of horrible diseases and all kinds of things. So it may not get better in this lifetime. But if we're living our life for God, then what? It'll never get bad again. You can say it. It'll never get bad again. And so that's the idea here that he wants us to understand is whatever I'm facing in life, whether I'm having to put up with persecution or people being bad to me or whatever, or I'm having to put up with physical things that are going on in my life that are limiting what I can do and so forth, that I need to just press on as best I can, you see, until it gets better. Realizing that until might be this side of death and it might not be. But I'm not going to just resign myself to just give up and go, oh, you know, I'm going to press on. Trying to do what I can for the Lord. Do what now?
I'm not ready to give up.
Well, I know you're not.
You know, I have realized that I probably won't get well, and I didn't. And I accepted that.
Right.
And I can deal with that.
And it's still frustrating, though, isn't it?
It's frustrating.
Right. Exactly. And but what you have to do is you gotta make sure you maintain that prayer in there. All the time praying. Bring it before God, saying, okay, God, you know, I might not get well today, but if I don't, give me the strength I need to make it through today. You say? You know, doing that kind of thing. But not giving up and resigning on it. Oh man, we are out of time. Hurry up, James. Quick.
God has been in my life.
Okay. That's where you get impatient.
Yes.
Well, you know, I struggle with the same thing. I have to pray constantly. You know, and again, you know, I think about the things like being out on the highway and the morons that are out there, and for some reason God keeps throwing them in front of me as I'm driving down the road. It's not really God doing that. But they just keep showing up. He may be testing me, but the thing is that the more that I keep working on it and focusing on it, the stronger that I have become. I'm still working on it, okay? I'm still working on it. But my point is, that's what we have to do. Don't give up. Just keep working on it. Keep pressing forward. All right. We got to stop here. We're out of time. We will continue with this next week. Thank you all very much. Be patient with me.